Crack open a cold box of wine or pour something cold on ice because it's the Binge Watchers Podcast.
The Binge Watchers podcast is no way, shape, or form sponsored by Boone's Farm, but that would be a killer sponsor to have.
Please sponsor.
But so yeah. I was telling Jordan, like, he's in this perfect pocket of time where she can enjoy herself and kick back with Boone's Farm because it's cheap, it tastes good, it's very sugary. Unlike Thunderbird, which is a hobo wine, which tastes very alcoholic, but it's not enjoyable to drink unless, like, that's like you're considering the, like, It's a Wonderful Life at the beginning of the movie. You're like, I'm on a bridge. I'm going to drink this Thunderbird. It's over with. But, and that's the time of the year we're in. People are like, well, I could either go decorate a Christmas tree or jump off a bridge. I'm not sure yet. Maybe the Thunderbird will help me decide. But as far as Boone's Farm goes, and we're recording, by the way, because that's why I'm launching into a tirade. The Boone's Farm situation is like this. Like, it has a bunch of, like, ridiculous flavors, like blue raspberry. It's almost like Kool-Aid, but with alcohol, right? So then this guy's like, do you want me to put that in a wine bag? I'm like, no, you don't understand, guy. Like, this is not – Boone's Farm is not something that you give somebody as a present or, like, you wrap up in a nice little package. You just bite because it's fun, and you just drink it. Like, it – but it would almost, like, be insulting to wrap up that shitty-ass wine in a nice bag and be like, here you go. Happy holidays. Like, oh, you gave me Boone's Farm? Like, are we at a, like, party, a rave? Like, what's going on? Like, no, it just felt like a Boone's Farm Thursday, you know what I'm saying?
Like, but when I turned 21, Boone's Farm was the thing I drank because I, you know, I was broke. And it was like, how do you drink classy Boone's Farm? I'm just saying.
Yeah.
it was the cheap thing to go to.
And I you're right. So it was like, pay rent, Arby's, Boone's Farm.
Boone's
there you
Farm.
Go.
Like, I need to get buzzed. Boone's Farm. Yes.
Yeah.
Who remembers Mad Dog 2020?
I don't know what that is. Wow. I actually don't know. Yeah.
Oh, that was like, they had flavors that look like, or colors that look like what I have right here. Except
Dave's holding up a Costco sized amount of orange
what
juice.
What is that? That's a lot of orange juice.
It's like Crystal Light.
Jug of juice. All
right. Yeah. Hashtag jug of juice.
Jug of juice.
Okay. We're here to, like, podcast about something. If you're just tuning in, we got to start this thing called stocking stuffers, which is, if you go back a couple of years, the whole concept was, like, what does a friend or a family member get a binge watcher? Because we're, like, the snobby movie fans. Like, you could pick a really crappy movie to give us in our stockings, and then we'd be really, like, disappointed. Like, I remember getting, like, one of those 50 Cent movies that he gets and pays those actors. Like, you know, he go, like, 50 Cent goes and produces these movies, and he's like, I'll have Robert De Niro in this movie for, like, 2 minutes, and then he'll be on the cover with me, right?
Yeah.
So it's like that, like, yeah, my mother, like, oh, here you go. Here's a, I'm like, crime movie with Robert. Oh, okay. All right. That stocking stuffer. So me and Dave are like, hey, what if we podcasted about these crappy movies that everybody gives us? Cause they don't really know what we're into. And that would be the thing. So we did that. And then last year we just did, like, we reviewed the whole year of podcasting. We didn't do it last year. We're bringing it back. And if you're listening to this in July, I'm sure there's, like, a holiday somewhere. It's probably snowing in other countries at different times of the year. So in it doesn't
Argentina
have to be.
It
doesn't have to be listened to during, like, the holiday season. So we're still going to call it an evergreen podcast if we can. But anyway, you know, welcome to part one of this year's Stocking Stuffer special. Dave has drawn 4 magical titles out of his stocking. And the first one is Real Steel, which is about this guy named Charlie Kenton, played by Hugh Jackman. He was a boxer, and then they stopped using real fighters in boxing. This is, like, in the future, like, 40 years or something. Now robots are in the ring. He's a small-time promoter because he can't keep his boxers alive, essentially, if you want to call a robot alive. Can't keep them together. Like, they get knocked apart. He has to get some money, scrounge up to keep his truck on the road and get parts to build new robots. And then, meanwhile, he's having, like, a custody battle over his son that he's, I guess, didn't know he had. I don't know. Seems to be in denial about everything, but then they get, like, a second chance, and they put a robot together who's, like, some kind of sparring robot, but then they put it in real fights. I don't know. Anyway, we call this movie The Rocky with Robots because it's kind of like Rocky.
It's pretty much,
yeah.
Rocky and over the top.
I've talked so much, so somebody else can talk. Dave, if you have any dangerous facts about tonight's stock and stuffer, you can do that, or you can let them continue talking about Boone's Farm. Would be could also be facts. Done.
All right. So the director, Sean Levy, actually used a mixture of practical effects and CGI, actually at the advice of Steven Spielberg, who felt whenever you can use a real object on screen, your eye will adjust more to CGI naturally if you go back and forth, because, of course, that's what he did on Jurassic Park. Most of the robot fights were actually motion captured by real boxers supervised by Sugar Ray Leonard, which I had no idea. That's kind of crazy. And actually, we just said that this is like Rocky. Actually, one of the nods to Rocky is that the champion robot is Zeus. And in Rocky, the main opponent was Apollo. Well, of course, in Greek mythology, Zeus is the father of Apollo. So that was their extra tip of the cap to Rocky. Despite earning over $300 million, a sequel to Real Steel has not been greenlit, despite a lot of interest from fans and crew. There's actually been some recent talks and rumors because Real Steel actually was like got a big resurgence last year during the pandemic when it showed up on Netflix. Mm. And this was actually loosely based off of a short story by sci-fi writer Richard Matheson. And actually, there was an episode of The Twilight Zone based off of that as well, and called Steel. So, yeah, this actually was – this is a very long, very different version of a Twilight Zone episode.
Mm, okay. Hey, Nikki Lates, you got some favorite bits from this movie?
I love Hugh Jackman's performance. He went full-blown – like for this movie, like I know he's dealing with CGI robots, but I felt like he was like dealing with real robots, right? Like I thought his performance was incredible and he went full blown. And I actually love the Rocky style theme for this movie. I freaking love this movie. I thought it was so fun and so entertaining. I love this movie.
It was a good one.
Yeah,
that's fine. I didn't think it would choke me up, but it did.
Right?
I was like, it got me.
Damn, this is good, right?
Yeah. The whole moment with like Bailey, or is that her name, Bailey? And then she's looking at Max, who's mm-hmm. looking at his dad, Charlie. It just is like that slow motion little moment that just was tugging at the heartstrings.
Yeah.
So Jordan's referring to a moment in the final fight. Spoiler alert, whatever. So the dad gets to have like his, in a spiritual way, it's like the dad gets to have his championship bout, because the robot loses its ability to listen to their commands. And so he has to shadow box and mimic what the dad is doing outside the ring. And so it's almost like the dad is boxing out the champ robot or whatever. But then, yeah, but then the lady who's like the friend who had like a relationship, it's like the lady is the daughter of his trainer. But there's some romance going on there. The movie suggests that they, whatever, had a thing. But yeah, they're crying. They're crying at the end. And then like the thing that's really like Rocky is when he's calling the kid's name in the crowd, and then like they're actually cheering the robot's name at one point in the fight. They do that at the end of Rocky. So there's a lot of final fight stuff in this movie that's like the third act of Rocky. For those that are not initiated in how Rocky went down, about a contender movie. I'm just backing up what you said, Jordan, with a little extra.
Get back.
A little extra.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Boom. So was that your favorite bits, Jordan?
I would say so. Definitely my favorite moment. Didn't think it was going to get me to cry, but I was like.
Right. Well, I guess I'll go on to my favorite bits. I have a few. Hey, one, I was happy to see Del Taco in the in the final fight somewhere.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm sorry. I come from the home of Del Taco, so I got to.
I eat Del Taco. That got me. I'm that guy. Just saying.
But two other little bits that got me is you know, he's finally learning about his son. You know, his son's like, I don't like burgers. And there's another moment he just hands him a paper bag. He's like, I told you I don't like burgers. It's a burrito. I don't know. That little moment of him like, oh, he's learning about his son. He's getting it.
Yeah.
And then
what great writing. Hey, in this scene writing. When he tries to give the son the burgers the second time. Guys, we've been banging our heads against the wall all week. Hey, let's give him a burrito. Golden, write that in. This time, give him a burrito.
Burritos make everything.
And then, and then they got Del Taco.
Hey, trivia, Dave. That burrito is also CGI.
Oh, no.
But it wasn't really? Taco burrito. Actually, that's good CGI. I didn't know. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
But the other moment is before the main fight, he shows up to the woman's back to their place with the woman, Evangeline Lilly. I can't remember the character's name. And she says to him, like, wow, you just drove 1,200 miles for a kiss. Worth it. Worth or whatever. Yeah. He says, worth it. Worth it. That kind of got me. I mean, like Jordan said, I didn't expect to get that emotional at this. Actually, I watched it and my wife came in like an hour into the movie, not knowing anything that happened before, but she was just sucked in and stood by for the last hour of this movie and got sucked up.
So she dug it too.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, she was getting teary eyed at the end, like at this robot movie.
Oh, for sure.
See, and I'm kind of ball humbugging because like we just did a bunch of feel-good movies. And like I need a break from the feel-good movies, and now we're into the stocking stuffers, and they're also feel-good movies. So it's like, how many emotional moments can we have here? Anyway, I thought about putting a really violent movie in between these movies.
We might need it. Like, I feel like the last Silent fall Night, off Deadly Night, or though. Something. Like, what do we need?
Oh yeah, there is violence in the other robot movie we're gonna cover soon, but not yet. Gosh. Okay, I like the conceptual feeling the movie gives you, but I don't have like a specific favorite part. Like the tone, the whole vibe of the show is entertaining. My favorite fight's actually in the junkyard when they're first teaching the robot how to fight, and then the kid's like, "Oh, I got a fight arranged. Give me one fight. Let me try it." And then they go to the junkyard and scrap it out, and like the guy's got to pay him $1,000 or whatever.
Was it the zoo? It's like a zoo.
Oh, yeah, it's called the zoo. That's what it is. But it looks like a junkyard, yeah.
I thought it was a great scene, too. It was definitely one of my favorites.
So are we going to binge now, binge later, binge never? Safe bet that everybody else is going to say binge it now.
You're probably right. I'm going to say binge now. Yes, I love this movie. Definitely binge now.
Dave was going to say that. Then he just changed his mind right now because he didn't want it to be true.
No, I already knew. I already had.
Is he a rebel? What's going on?
No, I'm going to say binge later. Like I saw this once in the theater, kind of forgot about it, and watched this. And I enjoyed it while I watched it, but it's kind of like empty calories. I'm like, okay, I enjoy it at the moment, but it's not going to stick with me.
Celery? It's celery.
I mean,
it's a celery of cinema.
All right, well, I don't know.
That's the only food I can think of that says if you eat the empty calories.
Well, that's supposed to be negative calorie. I'm probably using the term wrong. You know, the calories that you shouldn't be eating, you're just doing because why not? Mm. Whatever those are.
I thought that was a great way to put it, Dave. honestly, I would say binge never, you guys.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa,
yeah.
All right. There you go.
I just was like, okay, it took me a couple times to get all the way through. It was a little overdone, a little cheesy.
So you watched this over like multiple times.
You know what's funny? You're so nice to the movie, and then you're like, don't watch this piece of shit at all.
And bash it. I can't wait. Like, I want to hear your.
It wasn't for those tearjerker moments. Like, I told you guys I'm a crier. Like, if I cry at Bachelorette, I can cry at this. And they're like, if it wasn't for those couple moments. You know, I was definitely.
I will say this movie ends a lot better than it starts.
Completely agree.
Yeah.
Mm. Yep. What about you, John? What are you thinking?
Take it or leave it. So it's a later for me. Like, it's not something I have to watch. It's also kind of played out for me. Like, it's a movie that's okay, like, the first time through, or maybe a second time through, but like. Once it's on TV a couple times or whatever, and then you catch parts of it, whatever, you're kind of over it. So it'd be a later.
This definitely feels like a Sunday afternoon on the couch kind of a movie. Like, all right, I'm going to go check on my sauce or whatever, you know.
My kids are running around. I have this
all right, go check the roast.
I get you.
Five more minutes real still.
Yeah.
Oh. So as far as what we can do for our fans, though, if you drop us a 5-star on iTunes or you make comments about what movies we should review, send us an email, whatever, we're going to give away like last month's movies and this month's movies. So that's like a pack of 8 movies. We'll send you like a box. Maybe we'll sneak a Boone's Farm in there. I don't know if the postman will.
Yes, please.
We'll get that through the post office, but we'll try.
I think if you send it FedEx. Like,
yes, do it.
Yeah, FedEx doesn't check, right? The thing could be on fire. Yeah.
It's good.
Hey, Nick. So we're doing staff picks kind of funny this month, too, to go along with Stock and Stuffers. So if somebody sent you a movie recently and you cracked it open, you can tell us about that movie.
I have this movie.
No one can see what it is. You might want to tell them at home. He's holding up the DVD so we can see what it is.
It's called Livewire. with Pierce Brosnan before this was probably like 5 years before he was James Bond, and goddamn was he good. And you could see him becoming James Bond before he was James Bond. And by the way, this movie is great. He's this guy who is this awesome SWAT, like guy who like takes out bombs and stuff. And it's amazing. But anyways,
sounds like you forgot what the movie's about already, actually.
The movie was so good. The bad guy literally takes people, he gives them water, and then they drink it, and then their body like explodes. It's incredible. Like, it's the perfect
it's pretty awesome. Movie.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So this is the action movie that people die by drinking.
Yeah, literally like
water.
I'm gonna drink this water right now, right?
And there's like an explosive, and then
it's my eyes like get red and like, oh my gosh, she's gonna blow up. And then literally they blow up and the bad guys kill people that way. Like, it's incredible. This movie is incredible. I actually I'm happy Pierce Brosnan was not James Bond at this time. I thought in 1996 or 95 he became a better James Bond. I think he wasn't ready at this point, but at the same point I could see the like he's starting to become that, you know. I love it. This movie was great. Like, I had a great time with it. It was the awesomest stocking stuffer, let me tell you that.
Wow,
there's a lot of great explosions with dummies flying around.
I know, right? And by the way, 90s dummies, oh galore. And by the way, no CGI, like all awesome fire effects. It's great. Yeah.
Well, hopefully you enjoyed your lesson about Boone's Farm. And next week, we're going to continue with Stocking Stuffers by talking about a movie called The Wizard, which is basically a 90-minute Nintendo commercial. But we'll see what Nick's opinion about that movie is.
Can't resist.
He's still holding up a DVD that nobody can see.
If no one sees it, I don't care. Yeah, it was good.
Wow. Don't worry, I'll hold up one next episode.
And he's distracting me from playing the goodbye music.
Oh, sorry.